Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. It's where we take you through the Bible slowly and methodically and look at every word. Sometimes a single word can change the entire meaning. You take them back to the Hebrew. Sometimes there are lots of things in this Bible that you haven't been told in church, and they're right here in black and white. Catch version one. I promise you, you'll either be enthralled or enraged. One or the other. If you're enraged, come to the studio and talk to Jonathan. If you're enthralled, come to the studio and talk to Dave. Okay? It's on WVFFradio.com. WVFFradio.com. Catch episode one. I dare you. All right, we've come a long way from the creation of man. There were two creations of man, believe it or not. Two children in Eve's womb, two different fathers. It's all right there in black and white. Two floods. Noah's was the second. Yes, catch episode one. The first covenant was not the Ten Commandments. I don't care what pastor said. First covenant was when God said to Abraham, I give a covenant to thee. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Well, his children couldn't do that. He did. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did pretty good at that. But after that, the children of Jacob just couldn't do it. That simple stuff is hard. You know, so God says, all right, you can't follow me with all your heart. I will lay the law on you. And there is your second covenant. The Ten Commandments was the beginning of it. And the Levitical law, it grew into this enormous statute that will fill volumes of books. We find out in here that you can be sinful and not even know it. You can sin on accident. It's that easy because God did not want religion in the world. He wanted you a spiritual connection with his people. He wanted to follow me with all your heart. Let's talk daily. You know, none of this pray to Mecca three times a day. That's religious substance. He wants to have a communion with you all day long. You know, when things are right with me, I find myself chatting and thanking God all day long. Not just a time in the evening when you have normally set aside to get on your knees. Be careful with religious ordinances and statutes coming in. Oh, it's 7 o'clock. I have to go pray. You know, it's Sunday. I can't help my neighbor on Sunday. Jesus Christ came and restored the law. The original. He restored the original covenant, not the law. He came and done away with the law. Come and restore the original covenant of follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Christ says, follow me with all your heart and be baptized. And this, the entire theme that we're seeing here in the Old Testament is the heart of man. That is what's going to be judged. God says, I put the spirit man in the heart because the mind of the body is contrary to the will of God and the flesh is an abomination to me. So it's up to the spirit man to get control of the mind and guide this flesh in the right path. And we're seeing here in 1 Kings, where we're at now, we're in 1 Kings 12, that excesses will put the spirit man to sleep. Excesses put David in a bad predicament, caused him to have an adulterous affair and commit murder and lie. And he was just so far from God at a moment. His spirit was still there. God said his heart was always true. But the flesh was allowed to get away with itself. It's like you're driving in a car and all of a sudden, for some reason, you turn loose of the steering wheel. Yes, your mind's still saying, I want to drive straight down the road, but the car is going off into the woods. That's where David was, and it all came through excesses. Dozens and dozens of wives, just everything. And the Bible goes into a point and says, everything in the kingdom was really good. And when the armies went out for war that year, David says, you know what? I'm so comfy right here at the house. Food's good, the wine's good. wives are mostly keeping me happy. I'm not going out with you guys. You guys go on out there and just pillage. Do whatever you want to do. And then David saw Bathsheba and it all fell apart. So David was cursed. His family was cursed. He said, strife would come from inside your family. And your family would never lose the sword. Even today, Israel fights. But Solomon came along. Now, God had told David, if you follow my statutes, and he told Solomon this, follow my statutes, follow me with your heart, I will keep one of you on the throne, always. Well, Solomon, he was following God with all his heart in the beginning. He built the grand house for the Lord. He built his grander house. He took over 1,000 wives and concubines. And the Bible goes in and lists all the lavish ornaments for his army, golden shields and all sorts of amazing chariots, tens of thousands of things. He got out of control, the excess. Christian, Paul says all things are legal for the Christian through the grace of Christ, but not all things are good for the Christian. All things must be kept in moderation. Some things Christians are allowed by God to do, and this other Christian, because God knows he will not be able to control it, he won't be allowed to do it. Dare not you judge your neighbor. You know not what his father has said to him and told him to do. But you have to understand the theme here right now is the heart of man. That's all God wants. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your religious things that you do, traditions and statutes and your daily religious customs. He doesn't want that. He wants your heart. But to keep the heart and the spirit man in control, you must keep this body in a limited fashion. You can't give it all the food you want. Food is a powerful drug to me. When I eat over the amount that I need, my flesh begins to take control immediately. Some people, it may be alcohol. Some people, it may be drugs. Some people, it may be women. Some women, it may be men. Whatever this flesh desires in abundance, you have to limit it. You have to keep it under control. If you do, the spirit man will stay in control and your heart will follow after God. So Solomon got into some major excess. And God said, you know what? Even at the end of his life, although his heart was following God so well, he imported so many foreign wives. And like so many men do, they love their women so much that they adopt their customs and overlook the things that they don't appreciate about them because they love them so much. So he started following other gods. He started building temples and altars to other gods for his women. Imported a new wife from the Far East. Oh, I worship this god, Solomon. Well, I'll build you an altar so that you can be happy and worship your God. I'll even take you there occasionally. You know, God said, you know, there's one commandment that this book shows you that it's hard for God to overlook. There shall be no other gods before me. You know, he makes a way for all the other ones because he knows we're sinful. He makes a way and he covers. But there is no other God before me. That one there, he has a hard time with. So he told Solomon before he died, because your heart, he didn't say anything about your religious customs because Solomon was still doing that. The Bible said so. And that happens. If your spirit man starts going to sleep, the flesh will still carry you to church once a week just to make you feel like you're doing what you're supposed to do. But we found out under the law, didn't we, Jonathan? Mm-hmm. You can't do anything with your hands to make yourself holy. Mm-hmm. It's all about the heart. So he told Solomon, because you have done this thing, you followed after other gods, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you, but not you, because I promised David that you would sit on the throne. I'm going to take it away from your son. So Solomon died knowing that his son would not sit on the throne very long. And that's where we are right now. Chapter 12, Rehoboam. Solomon's son. And Rehoboam went to Shechem for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. Came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt. They sent and called, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, "Thy father make our yoke grievous." Now, what he's talking about here, so he's gone there to be made king, and the people say, this is an opportunity. Remember what we discussed in the last chapter? How Solomon's excesses led to enormous taxes on all the citizens. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, his son's being made king, so let's take this opportunity to have a chat with the king and tell him we can't pay these taxes. 70% of every dollar we make, we can no longer do it. I mean, the city of Jerusalem looks like an amazing carnival, and we're living in huts. So they take him aside. Thy father, they say, thy father made our yoke grievous. Thy father taxed us to death in money and also in labor. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter. Please cut the taxes, sire, and we will serve thee. It sounds to me like they were on verge of a rebellion there when Solomon is at his end of his reign. But it couldn't happen then because God said, I will make sure Solomon sits on the throne. And he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days and come again to me. And the people departed. Now, he's going to go think about this, get some advice from his good old boy advisors. You got to be careful who you get advice from. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon, his father. He consulted with the former advisors who had told Solomon to tax the crap out of the entire nation. Okay, that was problem number one.
Went to the problem to ask for advice.
Well, he yet lived and said, how do you advise that I might answer these people? They want their taxes cut. And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him. Ah, they actually gave him the opposite advice. You know, these people want this. If you give them what they want, they'll serve you. But you know what? God had already predestined and preordained that this kingdom, that his kingship would end. So he has no choice. And we see that over and over again, seen it in Saul and several of the kings, that God orchestrates everything. He said it, so it will happen. God has placed that in this young man's mind. I'm going to tax these people. But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him. Oh, okay. There we go. All of his good old boys and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that I may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke, make our taxes less, which thy father did put upon us, lighter. And these young fellows are thinking, hey, we're part of his inner circle. The more money's coming into the treasury, the better it's going to be, man.
It's not going to bother us at all.
No. Yeah. And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. You ain't seen nothing yet. You think your taxes are bad now. I got all sorts of building projects in mind. And now, whereas my father had laid you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father had chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wow. And this fellow took this advice because he had no choice. God had preordained it. So Jeroboam and all the people came from Rehoboam the third day as the king had appointed him, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel, and they gave him. and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord. I tell you a minute ago, God had preordained it in his heart. It didn't matter what counsel he had, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah, the Shilonite, unto Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. So, if your heart is not following after God with all your might, you sometimes don't have a choice in the decisions you make and the actions you take. I've seen it in this book 100 times where God causes someone to do something that is going to cause them all sorts of problems because mm-hmm. their heart wasn't right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the basic stories, God hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Yes, God did that. That's right. I hear preachers on the radio all the time, Pharaoh hardened his heart. No, he didn't. It says in here, God hardened his heart. He had no choice because he had no heart for God. Mm-hmm. The former Pharaoh did, but this Pharaoh didn't. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, we're done with you. You think you're king? Watch. What has a king who he has no servants? Who is a king with no servants? O Israel, now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. So he ended up getting the city folk, and that was it. I tell you what, there's more of a population outside the city than there is in the city. And King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who is over the tribute. That's his tax collector. And all Israel stoned him with stones. And he died. Okay, so there was just a major riot in front of the palace. We're not paying these taxes. And they all leave. And he goes, Hey, Adoram, come here. Yes, sir?
Go out there.
Yeah, go collect some taxes.
Didn't quite work out so well.
Are you sure, sir? Yeah. They seem pretty angry about taxes.
Oh, no. That's something else. Yeah. They're upset about something else.
It'll be fine. Shall I take 100 soldiers with me? No, you'll be fine. Go by yourself.
You're good.
And all Israel stoned him with stones, and he died. Therefore, King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. Oh, so he realizes he's really messed up. He jumps in his Corvette and peels out.
Yeah.
So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day, and it came to pass when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. And when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 84,000 chosen men, which were warriors to fight against the house of Israel again for the second civil war. And it's all because of the heart. An excess that put the heart to sleep has caused this one to bring the kingdom against to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the word of God came unto Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, Speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Ye shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. There again we see that. I have caused this. Do not follow this man, and do not go to war with your brothers. They hearkened, therefore, to the word of the Lord, and returned to depart according to the word of the Lord. I bet that angered Jeroboam. He says, All right, assemble the army. We're going to go up and take care of these people that don't want to pay taxes. And the prophet comes and says, No, don't do this. And Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went out from whence and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said to in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David, that this people go up to do sacrifice. So he goes and builds a couple altars and thinks, okay, and that will get me back in the favor of God. Similar to when the Israelites that were had forgotten all about God were getting beat up by the Philistines and said, go get that golden box. It'll save us.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.